I figured you did. Bless the Lord.
I've been searching so long for the words to describe a dream I was given one night. When I saw the position,
bless the Lord,
and I tell
singing to him at night. He likes it too.
Amen.
He likes singing.
All right, me and God.
Early in the morning, talking it over for me and God.
Amen. You know, I was thinking about something. I don't know why. I do a lot of thinking. I probably shouldn't, but I do. But the Bible talks about the bride have made herself ready. And think back on years gone by. Y'all probably didn't have the same situation I did. I was the only child. And lots of times my parents would kind of give me a little opportunity to prove that I could be trusted. And they would leave me home and you know, expect when they come back that the house wouldn't be burned to the ground. And, you know, that it would be in some kind of order. And you know, I'd invite all my friends over, you know, and we'd make an office mess ever was. And you know, the parents, my parents, they would either call and say, we're on our way home, or we'd hear him pulling in the driveway, and he never seen a bunch of boys move as fast as we moved, throwing stuff under the couch and in the closet and, you know, just kind of putting everything away. And the Bible says in an hour that we think not, he's coming.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
And we have made a mess.
Right.
And you know what? My parents, they probably knew about every bit of this. They probably said, I wonder what kind of mess we're going to see. We're getting. Yeah. They probably looked over a lot of things that were even obvious.
Yeah,
the reason they did is because they loved me, I guess. I don't know, but I was singing, as Brother Danny was singing there. And that song kind of made me think about going home and about spending time with God. And,
yes.
You know, I'm not there yet, but I'm closer than I was yesterday, if you know what I mean. I know our salvation is nearer than when we believed. I've been saved 33 years, so I know it's nearer than 33 years ago. And praise God, I know He's coming, Sybil. And when He comes, I'm leaving.
That's right.
And boy, it's always going to be a good day for the saved when He shows up.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't a good day before I got saved for Him to show up, Brother Eric. But the Bible talks about the long suffering of God, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The long suffering of God waited. And, you know, he waited, oh, he waited. Get saved. I'm glad he did. Amen. I'm glad he gave Jezebel space to repent. I'm glad he gave me space to repent. And he gave you space to repent. Amen. And God gives us every opportunity and then some to get saved, to get ready to meet him, because he's coming. And the world's in for a little bit of an interruption. I know they think they can cancel culture. They can just cancel everything out. But they're not going to cancel this out.
He's coming.
Yeah, they're not going to cancel this one. They're not going to censor it. Matter of fact, they're going to make room for him this time when he shows up. Sister Bonnie mentioned to me, and boy, she's good at this. She's starting a card ministry. And if you know someone that's down and out, someone that's sick, someone just needs a little cheering up, she said, let her know.
Amen.
And she'll send them a card.
Yes, thank you.
And you know, kind of like getting a flower every now and then. And she sent me one. I wanted to hug her neck. I said, thank you. I needed that.
Yes, I
asked her where she got the card at. I wanted to send one to somebody else. But I appreciate Sister Bonnie, and that's a tremendous ministry. I don't know of anyone who wouldn't like to get a card from anybody. I'll tell you right now, buddy. Woo! Bible talks about in the last days the love of many would wax cold. Hers hadn't waxed cold yet. She sent me a card in love, and I sure was glad to get it. And anytime I've ever got a card, I was glad to get it. I tell you that right now. Whenever you get a card, it's not like a phone call. A card's like someone thought of you, took time to put in words something that might encourage you, might help you through the day, might let you know that you ain't forgotten, you know, that you're on somebody's mind. That's a tremendous ministry. I commend her highly for that effort for that ministry, because everybody needs a little cheering up. But I'll tell you, there's a devil down here. Amen. All right, we're going to John chapter number 4 will be where we'll be taking our text from today. John chapter 4, we're still preaching along the lines of lessons on love, and that's been a very popular ministry online. They've downloaded our messages, Miss Church, over 30 times in the last two Sundays alone. So we're helping some. I don't know. I told Brother Ed yesterday, enough Friday, we was over here working on the lawnmower. When we left, as we crossed over I-65 out there, I told him, I said, one thing about it, Brother Ed, I said, we can tell the Lord we've been faithful in little. And you know, this might be a little work, but even little works, we need to be faithful in it. Maybe one day it'll be, I don't want to get too big. I'm not that big a preacher, if you know what I mean. But you know what? I don't mind ministering in the little. And I want to be found faithful in the little. And anyway, this will be another message along the lines we've been preaching on lessons on love. We're going to read the first 18 verses of John chapter 4. And there's a lot in here. Even though I've preached on this before, and a million other preachers have preached on this before, we've not even scratched the surface of what's in this. It says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, I was telling Sister Bonnie this morning about John's last testimony, which I read before I studied this out. He mentioned in verse 30, talking about Jesus, John said, he must increase, but I must decrease. So with that thought, it said that when Jesus knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee.
Yeah.
And he must needs go through Samaria. This, what we're preaching about today, is contained in this area of Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. These good Baptists, they probably gone get some KFC chicken, I don't know. But then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, hast drink of me? It's important right here. Which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever, and that's a key word, whosoever drinketh of the water that I give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thine husband. In that saidest thou truly. We'll stop our reading right there. We may comment on some more of these. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God, how important it is in the hour and the day we're living in. The last famine mentioned in the Bible is a famine of hearing the Word of God. And Lord, we sit here today and in the house of God today in much need of the Word of God. I pray, dear Father God, today you would manifest yourself today in this message. Lord, by the Word of God, may you minister to us. May you help us, Lord, today. Lord, we need your Word, Lord. You said, Lord, that men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Lord, I pray you bless, Lord, this message and help us with this message, Lord, I pray. Even in the hour we're living in, Lord, may we receive the good things of God. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Ed. We're preaching today on lessons on love. Me and Brother Ed, last Friday, we fixed a couple of lawnmowers. Now, I got the thought maybe we need to start a mobile lawnmower repair. I don't know. But we went to one guy's house and fixed his, and then come over here and fixed the one over here. And I have to admit, I am inclined to think I may start a mobile lawnmower repair service, if you know what I mean. But let me say real quick a couple of things that are important. I really want you to listen to me. For a preacher. Anybody ever heard of COVID-19?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you some things that you don't know about it that have come out since everybody's now kind of investigating the source of it, where it came from. And they have disclosed now that it was a biological weapon designed in a lab, unleashed upon the world on purpose. And here's the design of this biological weapon. It's designed to penetrate the cells in your body, and the long-term effect of it is yet to be known. Nobody truly knows what the end result of this thing is going to be. Now let me go a little further. Who paid for that? Anybody got a clue?
We did.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. We paid for it. What's bad is we were left out. We didn't even know about it.
That's right.
It was kind of done secretly, cloak and dagger. Only a few knew. If you know how globalists work, here's how they work. They want the world depopulated by 2/3%, but they don't want that to include them, Joanne. They want to be the 1/3 that lives. Bill Gates is one of them. And there's a lot of them. I didn't even know George Bush, the last Bush president. I didn't know he was a globalist. I didn't know that. I knew Barack Obama was, Henry Kester spilled the beans on him. Henry Kester said this about Barack Hussein Obama. He said, we raised him to be a global president. Did you notice that Barack Obama was never here? He was always somewhere else, bowing to kings over in other countries and stuff. I just want you to know, I'm glad my king,
amen.
I'm glad he's not trying to kill people. I'm glad, praise God, he's trying to give them living water, amen. He's not trying to give them COVID-19. He's not trying to impregnate them with a biological weapon. He's trying to get them to take a drink of waters that will give them eternal life,
amen.
That will make them a well springing up, an artesian well of living water that we can go and tell like this woman, come see a man.
That's
amen.
Right.
I want you to know, she might have five failures. And you know what? She never gave up. I can't imagine having five failures. She was looking for what I'm preaching about today. She was looking for love.
That's right.
It's not that hard to find love. It's just hard to find true love.
That's right.
Now, Hollywood's love is a little different than God's love. Hollywood's love is make believe.
Right.
They put on a pretty good show.
Yeah.
And you know, I've cried a little tear. You probably have too. Or maybe laughed a little. Or maybe been, you know, entertained by Hollywood's love. We're preaching today on lessons on love.
Amen.
I'm looking at Casey back there leaning up against the wall. And I'm sure she and all little girls want to be loved.
Right.
I'm sure all men want to love. Where's the problem at?
Right.
I think we failed the lesson. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, this woman was searching for something that she was having difficulty finding.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it showed up. Kind of different than she was expecting. I don't guess it was Robert Redford, Charlton Heston, or none of them Hollywood movie stars. The Bible says this about Jesus. When we see Him, there's no beauty to behold. His beauty is an inward beauty. You won't get captivated by His outward appearance. He's got scars, Tammy, where He had to prove His love.
Yeah,
hey, I want you to know, He's got places where they left wounds. He's got all kinds of real love wounds, amen, in the house of His friend. He was wounded, sold, betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. But you know what? This woman's like you and me. You know, I'm not a woman, and I don't have no problem with gender identity. I'll just tell you right now, I'm glad, praise God, there ain't no lace on my underwear. But I don't want to be married to Eddie Wade, I can tell you that right now. I've been married to Dottie, this will be 46 years. That takes its toll on anybody who wants to say it. She knows me, look. Hey, all y'all can look at me different, but she knows the real Eddie Wade. She's the one that said, God help Dottie. God help her. Have to be married to that thing. But you know what? God made me. God loved me. I have to admit, I was a mess. I probably spent more time at Sandy's house than I did my own. And she could probably, amen, have no problem at all. But you know what? That was before I got saved.
Right. Amen.
And I'll tell you what, it was Sandy's house was really where I don't know if I got good and lost, got good and in trouble. I just know one thing.
Yeah.
She got saved.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like a thorn of rock in a creek. That ripple effect started with her. I think I got in on the second ripple. Her husband got in on the third ripple. And her son got in on the fourth one. I don't have any more. But it had to start somewhere.
Amen.
She allowed Jesus to come in to her heart.
Thank you.
Hey, I'd never heard nothing like that. My wife, bless her heart, she just kind of said, did you hear about Sandy getting saved? I said, what? She said, yeah, Sandy got saved. I thought you might want to know. Well, of course I want to know. Her husband, my drinking buddy. I mean, we hunted deer and fished together and cussed together and done all kind of unthankful things together. Of course I wanted to hear about that. I went to her house for all the wrong reasons, but it had a good ending. I went over there. They was talking. When I walked in the door, didn't knock or nothing, come in and said, I need to talk to you right now. And I don't know what they was talking about. I have no idea. She might have been trying to talk to him about Jesus. I don't know. But I rudely interrupted it. I told Barry, I said, I need to talk to you right now. I'm going to guess she probably went back to the bedroom and said, God help him. right there in their driveway. I'm taking God's name in vain. I'm GD this, GD that. Daring God do anything to me. I'm Saul of Tarsus. I mean, I just didn't think, you know, that I had even needed all of God and needed Him more than probably I ever will ever realize.
Right.
I'll tell you what, it started with a little tender heart right here. That little tender heart right there is where it started at. And everything changed after that. Heard a preacher this morning, Brother David Carr, talked about that word new creature. He said that if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, any man be in Christ, he's a new creature in Christ Jesus. He brought some pretty good light to that.
Right.
A new creation.
Right.
You see, I was created in the image of God, but I didn't have God in here.
Amen.
When Jesus said, "Will thou be made whole," there was a piece missing.
Right.
And the reason that piece was missing is because we messed up in the very beginning.
Yep.
Even though God made Adam in His own image, Adam didn't understand the greatest thing Adam had was the one that created him. And when Adam fell, God didn't desert him. God come and confronted him. And He said, "Why'd you hide yourself?" He said, "Because of sin. Oh, because I was naked." Yeah. And then God said, "Who told you was naked? Have you eaten of that tree I told you not to eat of?" And Adam got, I guess, under all kind of tension and conviction. He said, "That woman you gave me gave to men I did eat." And then God left Adam and confronted Eve. And she said, "That serpent beguiled me." But I just want you to know, there was something missing. And God supplied that. He made clothes for them. And He clothed them. And even though they were in sin, don't you know? Is that me doing that?
That's you.
That's my foot. That was Him, amen, that fixed that for them, amen. All right. Let me get on this message here. Oh my. This woman, I want to say this, she was of a mixed race. She would be in our day and time called a blended family. The Samaritans were half-breeds.
Right.
I know we got a lot of race issues going on right now. What do you call it? Biden say something like race. I can't even spit it out. Something race.
Sound like him.
Yeah, thank you. That's really true. What he said is true.
Systemic racism.
Who said that right? Systemic? I was trying to say that word. He said that America had a problem with systemic racism. And they're saying, you know, that white supremacy is the biggest problem. It's a greater problem than global warming if it ever was a problem. And all that bunch of junk. But you know what? I'll tell you what. You better start paying attention to some of this stuff going on. Because it's fulfilling Bible prophecy. The Bible says that in the last days, nation will rise up against nation. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. There'll be pestilences like a pandemic. There'll be all kind of stuff in the last days, but the end's not yet. But I'll tell you right now, buddy, we're right there at the brink of the tribulation. I want you to know that this is playing a big part in right here. This woman was of a mixed race. She was an outcast.
Yes.
The reason she came at that well at that hour was not only because of her being a mixed race, but she had all kind of problems. But the Bible had said about the Jews not to have anything to do. It's unlawful for a Jew to keep company or to come to one of another nation. That's in Acts chapter 10, verse 28. The president, let me leave that off. Joe Biden said that he went on the TV and he said, "I watched about 11 hours and he said all I saw was mixed couples." Talking about blended families. You know what he said about that? He said they're making soap, man. What's that mean? Anybody got a clue? They're making soap. He said they're making soap, man. I went over my head. I don't know. I went to school, went to college, but I ain't got a clue on what that means. But that's what he said. He said they're making soap, man.
They're making trouble.
Yeah, well, you know, God made us of one blood.
Right.
Acts chapter 17, verse 26. God made us of one blood. All nations of men, their bounds, their habitations, time, therefore appointed. There may be different types of blood. I'm O positive. But it's all the same blood. Matter of fact, I can give blood to anybody. There's nobody in here. I'm a universal donor. If you ever need blood, we're there to get good blood. I can give you blood. I can give a lot of people blood. I can only receive O positive. But I can give blood to anybody.
Yeah.
But God made of one blood all the nations of men, their bounds and habitations therefore appointed, and of course leave it to man to mess all that up. But anyway, this woman here, she truly was, messed up. And God told Philip to go join himself to that Ethiopian eunuch in his chariot in Acts chapter 8, verse 29. That Ethiopian eunuch, he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was reading God's word when the Holy Spirit told him in verse 27, 28 to go join himself to that chariot. Now, most of y'all probably like me are thinking about an Ethiopian eunuch riding in a carriage with a beach seat here and a beach seat there, and God told him to go join himself to it. But actually, a chariot, you stood up.
Yeah.
And you had a horse pulling it, and I'm going to guess while his horse is pulling it, he's sitting there reading Isaiah 53. And anyway, Philip says, understands what thou readest. He said, how can I? He said, some man should guide me. And he stopped the chariot, and Philip went up and got in the chariot with him and began the same scripture, preached to him Jesus. And he got under conviction and said, behold, here's water. What doeth hinder men being baptized? You got the right Bible, verse 37, is in your Bible, Acts chapter 8, verse 37. And if you don't have the right Bible, it's got that verse in there, get your good old King James Bible, because that verse needs to be there.
Yeah.
He said, if thou believest, thou mayest. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They stopped the chariot. Philip took the Ethiopian eunuch down to the water, baptized him.
You're
the
right.
Spirit called away right. Philip. The Ethiopian eunuch went on his way doing what? Rejoicing.
Yeah.
Hey, I've been rejoicing in my Savior every moment of the day. Since He gave me this heart of love, on and on we walked together in the hallelujah way. That's what that Ethiopian did.
Yeah, right.
He went on his way rejoicing, Brother Eck.
Mm-hmm.
It is joy, unspeakable, full of glory.
Yeah.
It truly is. I kind of wish I could go through it again. Now, can you remember when you seen any way there till you got saved? Can you remember that far back?
Yeah.
Was he different?
Oh, yeah.
Is he still different?
Yeah.
You see what I'm talking about? Jesus makes a difference.
Yeah.
She knew the any way that y'all knew. I hope you never know the one that she knew. But she also got to know the one that God had His way with.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, what a difference. Wasn't there more cussing, was it?
No.
Wasn't there more drinking, was
it? No,
there
wasn't. It stopped.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I got a witness. Amen. Hallelujah.
Right.
That Holy Spirit told this deacon, Philip, to go join himself to this Ethiopian eunuch. He was another nation. And like I said, God's Word says it's unlawful for a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation. But when God tells you do it, amen. Moses was confronted by his brother Aaron and his sister Miriam, because he had married an Ethiopian wife, Numbers chapter 12, verse 1, they immediately, kind of like today, this beats all I ever seen. You know, not much changes. But they immediately started attacking his character. Your credibility gets attacked immediately. And they confronted him and said, has God called you only to be a leader, And then God, the Bible says God heard it. And he comes down and he not only straightened the matter out, he smote Miriam with leprosy. But understand this, Moses took a black woman to be his wife.
Yes, he did.
Philip joined himself to a black man in a chariot reading Isaiah 53. God told Philip to go join himself to that chariot. And in the matter of Moses taking a black woman to wife, he pictured Christ that took himself a Gentile bride. I'm just a Gentile dog. Thank God he loves Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
Now God chose Jews to be his people, and you know what? They were adulterous and everything but loyal. But Christ turned from them to us, and praise God, we not only got a good deal, hallelujah, we got grafted in, and you know what? Christ loved the church, gave himself for it, God loved the world, gave his son for it. You may not get this message today, but I want you to know one thing. God loves Gentiles.
Yeah.
I was always jealous. I wasn't born a Jew, brother. Then I read in there that I am a Jew. I'm a spiritual Jew.
Right. Through
the seed of Abraham, I got in. Amen.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Jesus.
You know what I think about Gentile dogs? I got a couple little dogs. And they made a couple messes this morning. As I was cleaning up that mess, I thought about all the things God had cleaned me up. I didn't mind it a bit. I minded it first, but as I was cleaning up them two messes, I thought, well, you know what? God's been doing the same thing to me. They say a dog's a man's best friend. You know why a dog's a man's best friend? Everybody wants affection. That dog looked me in the face. If I ain't paying attention, it'll look me right in the face. And you know what? It's worth it. And you know what? I want to be a good dog, amen. Well, this woman was a Gentile dog. And you know what? She couldn't help the color of her skin. She couldn't help what nationality that she was. And you know what? A little further here, Boaz married Ruth, a Moabitess. And you know what? She had been married before. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Oh my. Boy, one thing I found out about Baptists, they'll crucify you.
Right.
Oh, we've been married before.
Yeah,
that's right. Oh, my. Boaz took Ruth to be his wife. She was a Gentile, a Moabitess. He married her. They had a son. His name is called Obed.
Yeah.
That name means worshiper. He begot Jesse, Obed did.
Yep.
Jesse begot David, and David is called Blessed, King David.
Mm-hmm.
This might ring a bell to you. Of his father David shall he rule and reign. Now, son of David, have mercy on me. I just want you to know Jesus, he's got a bloodline of Gentiles. And a lot of people that you think shouldn't be in the bloodline, perfect king, perfect Lord and Savior. I'll tell you right now, buddy, he's got a good bloodline. We're all in it. I mean, buddy, Boaz here married Ruth, a Moabitess, been married before. But you know what? David the king come forth from that. Racism has no place in a heart, much less in a political much less be a political tool to use to promote agendas. And I'll tell you right now, though, I wish Brother James here would be an amen right there. People can't help the color of their skin, but I'll tell you what, they can do something about the color of their heart. My heart used to be black as coal,
yeah.
But praise God, I'll tell you right now, Brother Jesus, he gave me a heart a heart transplant, amen, gave me a new heart. He said, I'll create within him a clean heart and the right spirit. And you know what he did? But anyway, this woman, like many today, was mixed up on what love is. Verse 18. When the Lord there confronted her, this wasn't a compliment. He said, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. He kind of rebuked her there a little bit. You know what? It wasn't a compliment. The Bible said, if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. But she had to confess other mistakes that she had made. But let me explain her mistakes. Sybil, she was looking for love. Now, young girls today, and I was hoping to have more people here today. I guess Casey back there probably the only one we'll get to pick on today. But young girls today, they need to be careful.
Right.
Everybody wants Prince Charming. Yeah. Everybody wants a Juliet. And they're out there. But you know what? If you marry the wrong one, it's going to be the wrong results. You're going to be like this woman right here.
Yeah.
That you're going to be confronted about all the mistakes that you've made.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've been married. I heard about all the things you've done. I want you to know her reputation wouldn't do good. But praise God, she's running the right one, Sybil.
Right.
I'll tell you right now, buddy, she didn't look no more after she met him. But anyway, today, you know, marriages, they don't last very long today.
No, that's right.
I don't know how in the world God he put up me. I mean, this will be 46 years if the Lord allows it. We was married December the 9th. 1975, I believe that's right. But anyway, if she's able to somehow make it to December the 9th, and if the Lord allows me to live that long, well, we'll be married 46 years. Amen. Amen. And some of you have been married longer than that. Some of you haven't been married that long. And we never know what we're going to be. Every day, kind of like it's a challenge. You never know what it's going to bring forth. But today, marriages, they don't last. There's some preachers who won't even do a marriage no more.
No.
I will. You know, me and Dottie, we dated for like 2 years before we ever got married. And we went to a preacher. I thought a lot of him. I'm a lost man. I mean, I ain't saved. I went to this man, Brother Ed, and I had a lot of respect for him. Mm-hmm. I didn't know God, didn't know nothing about God, but I looked up to this man. And I said, would you marry us? And he turned us down. And I wasn't saved. I didn't react right. I was young, a whole lot younger than 34 years old. And, you know, him turning me down, when people ask me to marry him now, I don't turn them down. I know what that feels like. But I do ask them to let me counsel with them. I want them to understand a marriage is a commitment. It may not be a perfect marriage. But I'll tell you what, if you've got love, you can work within what you got. You can make the best of it. Mm. Best thing you do is get down on your knees and pray about it. Has anybody ever seen that movie called War Room? Mm-hmm. Oh my. That girl got down, got to pray, and she told the devil, get out of her house and stay out. Sometimes that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
And you know what she prayed about that husband? He had that dream. And in that dream, somebody was beating his wife up. And she's screaming, help me, help me. He went and grabbed the gun, jerked him back. And it was him. Buddy, that had an effect on him. He went down, he repented, said, I'm sorry, tried to be a better husband. That's what I had to do, Brother Mitchell.
That's
I had
right.
to try to be a better
Amen.
Husband. I say this to you young girls, pray about it.
Yeah, right.
Stay on your knees, Amen. Stay humble. Yeah. Worst thing you can do in a marriage is say what you think about somebody. Flip it. My mama used to say, if you ain't got something good to say about somebody, keep
right.
your mouth shut.
Yep.
Oh my, power of life and death in the tongue. There's been a lot of women, and I can't prove this. I'm not Dick Tracy or none of them, but I believe a lot of women are dead today because they've been better off not to have let it come out.
Yeah, right.
Said the wrong thing. Husband went and loaded the gun, shot her. Nowadays, they do a lot of things I don't even want to elaborate on. Let me say this. There is true love out there.
Right.
You can't find it.
Amen.
Pray. Ask God for wisdom. And then work in that marriage. If you marry someone, if I do a marriage with someone, I help them understand they're making a vow to each other and to God.
Yes.
Amen.
Keep the vow.
Right.
Don't make it if you ain't going to keep it.
True.
Commitment. It's not optional.
Right.
I told my wife, I said, honey, he said the death do his part. She said, don't tempt me. I'll kid you. Wasn't having a good day. You know what I mean? And I say some of them probably have took that option. I don't know. It's been a few times I know she wanted to kill me. But you know what? I'm probably a better husband today to her than I've ever been in my entire marriage. She needs me now.
Amen.
She knows. I mean, I emptied her porta potty thing she got there in the bedroom. I emptied this morning. Do you know what? She raised all the babies, changed the diapers.
That's right.
Sister Joanne said, "Hold the little baby." I said, "It's for you." I'd go in there and I could smell. I said, "It's for you, honey." She'd go in there and change them diapers, go pop it on.
Right.
Now I'm taking care of her. It's not always going to be easy. Brother Eddie took care of Karen. He was there for her. She gave him a lot of good advice.
Yeah, man.
He sure did. He's sharing some of that with me. But you know what? A good marriage there, you will. I asked my wife about something this morning. I said, I respect your wisdom. You've always given me good advice. And she did give me good advice.
Yeah.
She always does. I don't always do it, but she gives good advice. I wish I'd listen more, Danny. And women, they're a lot smarter than we are. I don't want to admit that, but it's true.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be a man somewhere. I had to work on that, Brother Ed. But you know what? A husband. about this in Proverbs chapter 1. He does safely trust her.
Right.
She's a real help to any home. They got to work together. They don't need to be no chisel. You don't need to be fighting. You don't need to be each other's throat.
Right.
You don't need to have a word contest so you can get the last word in.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
This woman, when the Lord confronted her about her having five husbands, I'm going to say that probably hurt a little bit. Then he went on to say that he whom thou now hast is not thine husband. As desperate as she was, she's now doing the unthankful. She's living with someone else's husband. Now, most people would have given up on her, but the Lord didn't. The Lord, He just got her to understand she needs help. And when He gave her, the doctor there write out, a prescription. When He gave her, the circumstances of her life, she had to accept that, or she said, I'm done with this, like most people do today.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? You get a little too personal. I'm done with this.
Yeah.
Walk out the door.
Yeah.
She didn't walk out the door, Brother Ed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, anytime you're talking to somebody, you always get interrupted. You ever notice that? And the Lord put His finger on this issue in her life. By the way, she needed some lessons on love, and a specialist showed up, and He took the time to help her with the subject that she was struggling with. And when He was done, them disciples, they showed up, and verse 37, they marveled that He was talking with this woman like, Jesus, you know who you're talking to? I mean, this is a mixed breed woman. And the Jews have no dealings with them. And here He is talking with them. Or talking with her. And they show up and they don't understand. I mean, Jesus is... Like I said, this is such a deep subject. I could preach on this for months. But listen, this is such a deep subject. He is ministering to her. And He is helping her. And they don't understand a thing about it.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much true even today. God ministers today to you and me. I've read a verse of Scripture before, and it ministered to me right then, right there, and met my need right there. That's what He's doing to her. He's helping her with her problem.
That's right.
You know how I know He helped her? She come to fill a water pot. She left it. You know why she left it? Now listen, I stopped at Dollar General store yesterday, and I went there getting free things, and all I could do is remember one of them. It really wasn't what I stopped, the most important thing, but I did get it. You know what I mean? She ain't got that kind of problem. And somebody said, what do you have to hurry for? I said, I'm trying to get there before I forget where I'm going. Yeah. She ain't got that kind of problem. Her problem is, she come with a thirst for water and met living water and also met a specialist that helped her with a problem in her life, and she left her water pot, verse 28, and went her way into the city and said unto me, you know what she said? I'm going to interpret this. Translate this for you. You know what she said, Sybil? She said, I found real love. I found love. That's what everybody wants, fellas.
Amen.
Everybody wants to be loved.
Right.
Amen.
Like I said, I got a card from Sister Bonnie. And I knew she was thinking about me when she wrote that card. I was glad to get it. I hugged her neck. Now you talking about a ministry, boy, that's a true ministry right there.
Amen.
Send a card to someone, let them know you're thinking about them, let them know
right.
You're praying for them, let them know you're there if they need you.
Yes.
Right.
You know, I don't want to meddle, but if somebody needs me, I'm coming.
Right.
That's Joanne. I showed up over at her house, I said, I don't know, you got a computer? She said, yeah. And I went there and looked on that computer, it looked like maybe I could do it. And what was it, about 6 hours later? But anyway, we did it, man, got going.
Amen.
We went to Brother Ed's neighbor's house, and I didn't realize Lymore had been sitting that long. But anyway, we found out that his problem wasn't the solenoid. He tried to put a new solenoid on it, cross-threaded the nut, but we needed the nut, so I had to saw it off with a hacksaw, but there wasn't a hacksaw in the building. But we got it going, and had to do a couple more things to it. But you know what? I will come if you need me to come, but I don't want to meddle in your life. I'm just offering like Jesus. He offered his services to help her.
Right.
She willingly let him help her.
Yeah.
And when she got the help that she needed, she went in Mark chapter 2, verse 2. It said, when it was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house, there wasn't no room to contain him. I mean, it filled the house up. We got to somehow get the message out that Jesus shows up down here at Lambert Baptist Church. Hey, we got some room today. You could have been here today, man.
Amen.
That's kind of what she did. She filled the house. Amen. I mean, buddy, when she went to town, they knew her reputation. I'm going to say there was probably a few sayings about her that I won't even dare to repeat or think about. But she went down and said, hey, I found love. I found somebody that cares.
Amen.
1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you.
Amen.
My pastor said people don't care how much you know. They want to know how much you care.
Yeah.
I went out to Sandy's house, got a bird out of a vent, and then it leaked, and I went out there and fixed the leak. But you know what? I cared.
Yeah. That's right.
Boy, she gave me some sausage, some Mexican white cheese like they serve in the restaurant. She knew I wouldn't take no money. She didn't offer it to her. There are times she said, let me give you this. I didn't turn that down, did I? She brought me some sausage. I'll tell you right now, but I don't know what to do with sausage. I would have made sausage gravy first. Then I made a sausage sandwich, really too big for the bun, but it still was good. Then I made some more sausage gravy. Then I made all how much of that it's a cheese dip at the Mexican restaurant. Oh, my.
Good stuff.
I ain't turned that down. I might turn money down, but I ain't turning that down.
That's right.
Hallelujah. You call me next time something goes wrong with that. Well, this woman, she didn't have a chance encounter, Brother Eric. Jesus was waiting on her. He's still waiting on a lot of people right now.
Yeah, right.
Bible says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. I'm telling you, buddy, he's never very far.
That's right.
From any one of us. Sister Sybil, she gave me this tie. And she gave me a bunch of them. And this is the second time I wore this. Most of them I've only wore one time. But you know what? It was hers to give. And she gave it to me. And I'll tell you right now, but I told her, I said, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah.
But you know what? He made himself available. She made these right. available. She didn't ask me how much I give for them. She said, they're yours. You can have them. I didn't realize there was so many in there. Lord, hey, you got all them in two boxes. She folded them up real nice and neat. Oh, my. Jesus made himself available to this woman.
Right.
It wasn't a chance encounter. He was there waiting on her. The world needs to do just what she did.
That's right.
Don't walk away. Don't say, I don't want to hear it. Say, would you tell me again?
Right.
Would you repeat what you said about Jesus? Because I'm going to tell you right now,
right.
He loves you. He loves you this much. He loves me. I got up this morning. You know what I did? First thing. Lord, thank you for a good night's sleep.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for another day.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for mercy and grace.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah. One old big long list of thank yous.
Right.
Then I asked him to forgive me. He said, Lord, forgive me. All the times I've been a disappointment. Forgive me all the times of sin, worship, cleanse me. Deliver me even today, me with temptation. Lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. You see, when I first got saved, I had a lot of zeal, didn't I? There was a couple of times I got ahead of God. It's pretty lonely out there.
That's right.
And I had to wait for him to come up to where I was. That verse in the Bible in Psalms 27, verse 14, is a true verse. It says, wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
Be of good courage. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I got in too big a hurry. It says, run the race of patience. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I wasn't patient. I was running too fast. My pace was off. I'll just tell you right now, don't get ahead of God. Hey, you know, he loves us, amen. And you know what? They all come to see that great love. That love that Jesus bestowed upon this woman. Thank God for the love of God, amen. I'm glad, praise God, he not only gave her a lesson on love, in school, Brother Jerry, when I was in school, I passed every year only for one reason. They didn't want to see me another year. They put on my report, they put on my report card, every one of them, D-minus, every one of
them. Amen.
1 year was enough. I worry about failing anything to worry about. 1 year was enough.
Amen.
Well, you know, I tell you, this woman had failed miserably. Maybe she's on the verge of giving up. Well, my pastor, he said this about that. He said she might have had 6 failures, but number 7, a number of completion showed up. She saw no more. She found what she was looking for.
Right. Amen.
You can find what you're looking for in Jesus. I don't know your circumstances.
Amen.
Maybe you don't know mine.
Right.
I can remember my mama back when we lived over on Newman Street. I can remember my mama. Now, listen, I'm a mama's boy. But I can remember my mama saying this about my wife. I'd leave her if I was you. And you know what? That went in one ear and out the other. I wasn't about to leave my wife. My mama shouldn't have said that. I don't hold that against my mama. But you know, some of you have heard things like that.
Right.
Even though that's a suggestion, it's not an option.
That's right.
I married this woman. I married her to death do us part. I mean, we may not have the best marriage, but we got a marriage.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to admit, we probably need counseling. But you know what? I'm there for her. She's there for me.
Yeah.
We make the best of it. I don't have about. I can tuck and roll the best of them. That's what I told Buddy Ed. I said, tuck and roll, buddy. Somebody asked Mae Jackson, he believed they're flying saucers. He said, yeah, I'm married. I know all about flying saucers. Yeah, I believe in them. Sometimes you better off just, I'll be back, honey. I'm going to run to town and get some bread. She said, we got 5 loads. He said, yeah, I know, but well, I want to make sure to get one before we get too low on it. Sometimes you're just better off, you know. Bible even says it's better to dwell in the wilderness than in a wild house with a contentious woman. Everybody has their day.
Sure do.
For those of you that are trying to make the best, tuck and roll.
Right.
Yeah. I pushed my wife around the wheelchair now. It could have been the other way around.
That's right.
Yeah. I said something to her yesterday about putting a trailer hitch on the back of her van. You know what she said, Brother Jerry? She said, I don't want a trailer hitch on the back of my van. She thinks I'm going to pull a basketball with it. I said, I'm going to try to get a trailer, honey. Get you one of them mobile, what do you call them?
Chairs.
Yeah, I said, I'm going to get you one of them. Because we go somewhere, where I got to run there and see if they got one of them.
I got one.
And, you know, you just can't put that up in the back of my car. So I was going to put a trailer on the back there where I can haul it. Because at Ollie's, they don't have them. And I'm pushing in a wheelchair. And I'm either pushing it too fast or too slow. You see, are you getting me with this?
Right.
Just trying to help her.
Yeah.
So when I said I think about putting a trailer hitch on your station wagon out there, her first reaction was, I don't want a trailer hitch on my van. And then she heard the rest of it. I said, I was going to try to get you one of them mobile chairs. She don't have any mobility. I'm praying for her.
That's right.
Maybe God just trying to.
Right.
Humble her and humble me at the same time. I don't know.
Amen.
Right. Don't give up.
That's
no.
Right.
Don't give up.
No.
That's right.
Make the best of it.
Right.
Yes,
yeah.
It may be you that gets pushed around the wheelchair.
Exactly.
That's right.
It may be you that has to push the wheelchair. I'll tell you what, the good outweighs the bad.
Yeah.
The Bible says this about a marriage in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Marriage is honorable and all.
Amen.
The bed's undefiled. That's the good part about marriage. Here's the bad part. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge.
That's right.
If you marry someone, be faithful.
Right. Amen.
And whoever you marry, they need to be faithful too.
That's right. Amen.
Make it real.
That's right.
Make the best of it. How can two walk together except to be in agreement?
Right.
I don't always agree with her, but sometimes we make the best of it. I let her make decisions every now and then. You got to.
That's right.
Every now and then you got to let her have her way, Brother Jay. You can't dominate it all the time.
Right.
I mean, I know it's a sin, but just say, you're right, honey.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to let off of it. Rocking the boat. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this lesson today from the Word of God. Lord, we left a lot of it out. But Lord, I pray, God, what we did include in this message, Father, today. I pray, Lord, it would help us, Lord, today, the hour we're living in, Father, the day we're living in. Lord, it just seems like everything's wrong. Lord, I've never seen so many families, Lord, in trouble today. And I pray, God, today that they'll take the Word of God and somehow, Lord, recover, Lord, the things that they're losing in their home and in their life. I pray, Lord God, you would help them. Pray, Father, Lord, for those that are listening by way of internet today. We ask your blessings on our efforts. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'd like everybody to stand. Give Brother Jerry, please. Sister Sharon.